Continuing with our look at the inscriptions on the door of Jahannam, let's today look at the sixth door of Jahannam. Three inscriptions, quite short and sharp again. And these are, أنا حرام على المجتهدين. أنا حرام على المتصدقين. And أنا حرام على الصائمين. I, Jahannam, am haram on those who do ijtihad. And I will explain. The second one is, I, Jahannam, am forbidden to those who give sadaqah. And the third one is, I, Jahannam, am haram for those who fast. Let's look at all three concepts. The first one, I, Jahannam, am haram. I am forbidden on those who do ijtihad. The word ijtihad is derived from juhd, which means the use of effort or endeavor in doing any activity. Ijtihad involves doing one's utmost while striving and making an effort. Now, when ijtihad is used in relation to the knowledge of Islam by the mujtahideen or the fuqaha, it means striving to deduce the laws of sharia from the sources of the Quran, the sunnah, ijma and aql. However, we're going to look at ijtihad. For us, it's looking at ijtihad as working with our maximum potential and the resultant productivity in life. We were in essence created to be able to transform this material world, introducing to it a higher dimension, and that's called divinity or godliness. So while the ultimate and final goal of our struggles or of our ijtihad is spiritual growth, the very fact that Allah has put us in this material world means that we reach the spiritual plane through physical labor. Imam Ali al-Islam in Nahj al-Balagha says, it is for you to make an effort and do ijtihad, to prepare yourself and to supply yourself with provision in the world for the next. Work, as we call it, is not merely something we do to be able to get enough money to surround ourselves with material comfort. For the productivity and end of this sort of ijtihad actually leaves the human being very empty. It's not nourishing to our spiritual and emotional needs. The way to perform correct ijtihad in life is given into six principles by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his Ahlul Bayt. And let's look at these six principles. The first one is by being able to do everything we do honestly, morally, and in accordance with the laws of Sharia. The second one is by making sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a partner in everything we do. So if I were going to do business, then I know I allocate a certain amount of my profits for spending in His way. That's just an example. By setting ourselves high standards for whatever work we undertake, whether it is something as great as nuclear physics and being a nuclear physicist and discovering various things, right down to even wanting to iron one shirt, to set yourself a high standard. The fourth one is by being persistent, by never giving up. We've been talking about Hajra in the days of Hajj when we're talking about preparation for Hajj, and it's just like her, making sure that we persist. The fifth one is by being organized, by setting a part of each day for study, for reflection, for planning. Often, very often, unproductivity, not reaching our full potential, is a result of being unfocused and not having good planning. And finally, always remember that in every act that we do, the bottom line is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the numbers written in the profit or loss column. At the end of each day, it's worth asking ourselves, am I using all my resources and abilities to produce more than was given to me by Allah? And maybe I will end on this topic with a hadith from Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam, when he said, I advise you to be God conscious, to be righteous, and to do ijtihad in fulfilling your duties. I really can't say more than that. Now the next one, or the next inscription is, أنا حرام على المتصدقين. I, Jahannam, am haram to those who give sadaqah. Sadaqah, if anybody described what is sadaqah, wanted to explain what sadaqah was, it is simply charity with the niyyah of qurbatan ila Allah, to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in Surah Ali Imran, ayah 92, he says, وَمَا تُنْفِقُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٍ. And whatever you spend in the way of Allah, indeed Allah knows. We're all aware that to give sadaqah is a virtue, and the society that gives sadaqah is a healthy human society. But to understand sadaqah, we've got to ask a question to ourselves. Why do we give sadaqah? And without understanding the reason, it will ultimately lead to limiting our generosity. See, the qis or sadaqah lies in understanding that it's not only a gift to the receiver, but the giver as well. Sadaqah is probably one of the simplest ways to help spiritualize the material world, to unite with other human beings and with Allah, thus fulfilling one aspect of our purpose of creation. This a story that I repeat all the time and I absolutely adore, actually, if I can say, conceptualizes sadaqah. Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam was once with his companions when they met a needy person. Imam gave him what he had and then proceeded to kiss the man's hand. His companions asked regarding Imam's gesture, saying that it should have been the needy person kissing Imam's hand in thanks. And Imam said, "You know, he is my muhsin. He's the one who has done me a favor." And he continued saying that the needy person had taken his money, multiplied it, and deposited with Allah. Did not that deserve the kissing of his hand in appreciation and in thanks? Now, just as Allah continues to give every moment of time, every day on the earth, sadaqah allows us to give and therefore allows us to adopt in ourselves the akhlaq of Allah. Remember what I always say, taqalluqu bi akhlaqillah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, adopt in yourself the akhlaq of Allah. We've also got to remember that the wealth we give in sadaqah is not our own. He has lent it to us to enable us to receive the gift of giving. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that on the day of Qiyamah, everyone will rest under the shadow of his sadaqah until the matters are settled between the people. Sadaqah is also a matter of justice. Can our comfort and pleasure really be more valuable than our fellow human beings' most basic necessities? Can we really pursue the highest level of intellectual achievement when our fellow human beings need guidance in basic matters? Can we be so engrossed in our own selfish problems that we don't notice that our fellow human being needs only a smile to make his or her day? There are many, many forms of sadaqah, but the most powerful is money. This is because money is how most people measure their self-worth, and they spend so much time and energy and labor in earning it. Therefore, it represents the energy of life. When we give our material wealth, when we give money in sadaqah with the niyyah of qurbatan ilallah, we make that money eternal. And the highest form of sadaqah is providing a person with an opportunity so that he or she will no longer need to look for others for help. We can probably provide a family with food or necessities for an entire year or 10 years or 20 years, but it is indeed a charitable act. There's no problem. But better than that is to give the head of the family a job or a loan or another means to re-establish self-respect so that they may be able to stand on their own two feet. I remember a project many, many years ago, and it continues now as far as the organizations that I know are concerned. And the project was to buy women in a particular village sewing machines. And with those sewing machines, especially those who were widowed, who did not have anybody to look after them, suddenly began their own little cottage industry, and things just flourished from there. And I had the opportunity of a couple of weeks ago meeting one of those people who has now established her own brand of clothing. It's amazing. And I remember when this project was being initiated some 10 years ago, some 5 to 10 years ago, I remember very, very distinctively that all we were asked to donate was something in the region of £50, which seemed like a lot, but £50 to ensure that a sewing machine was bought and they were established with its doing. It's amazing where that went and how it got to where it is today. So, as this says, Jahannam is haram for those who give sadaqah. The third one, I Jahannam am haram for those who fast. The month of Ramadan has gone. We've talked about this many a time. But again, enough at the dhikr. It is beneficial to remember because it is good to fast beyond the month of Ramadan as well. So let's look at what a fast is. Let's just remind ourselves. Sawm or fasting means to, in general, abstain from certain actions from break of dawn to sunset with the intention of pleasing Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "One who, whilst fasting, neither guards his tongue from telling lies, nor refrains from doing bad deeds, does not respect his fast. Allah does not approve of mere abstention from food. When you fast, you should not speak ill of anybody, nor should you be boisterous or noisy. If anybody speaks ill of you or tries to pick a quarrel with you, don't respond in the same manner. Simply say, I am fasting. Now, besides the month of Ramadan, there are many recommended fasts. For example, it is recommended to fast on Friday, Thursday and Monday. It is recommended to fast the middle 3 days of the month, which are known as Ayyamul Bid, the lighted days, 13th, 14th and 15th. The fast of the 6 days during the month of Shawwal, following the month of Ramadan. The fast on the day of Arafah, which is coming up. And there's quite a lot of fasts that we know. For example, the fasts of the month of Rajab and Sha'ban. I could go on, we just have to find out. And these fasts have an amazing effect. But as regard mustahab fasts or recommended fasts, remember that a guest cannot fast except with the permission of his host. A woman can't fast without the permission of her husband. On an optional fast, not qadha or wajib fast. Those, you don't need anybody's permission. In fact, there's a hadith of Rasulullah who said, whoever visits people should not observe an optional fast except with their permission. And when Imam Ali Ridha was asked, why is there an optional fast for 1 day out of each 10 days? Remember I said, the 13th, 14th and 15th of each month. He says, because Allah in Surah Al-An'am, this is Surah number 6, ayah 160 says, مَنْ جَاعَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ أَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا Whoever brings a good deed, he shall have 10 like it. Therefore, one who fasts 1 day in each 10 days will be regarded as though he or she has fasted the whole time. And if it is asked why people were ordered to fast, this is again from Imam Ridha, it would be answered so that they may know the trouble of hunger and thirst, and thus get the idea about the poverty, the hunger and thirst of the hereafter. And the fast keeper may be humbled. Moreover, they may get the reward of Allah and be patient in the wake of the trouble they face from hunger and thirst with knowing of Allah and sincerity. So fasting is the cause of getting reward. Moreover, it brings about the control of the bottom desires, if I can call the animalistic desires, and becomes that which admonishes in this world. And finally, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, Allah has said, all righteous deeds of the son of Adam are multiplied 10 to 700-fold, except fasting. So, for it is mine, Allah says, and I shall be its reward. You can't get better than that. And obviously, Jahannam is haram if we fast. But the question to ask is, are we really fasting? Inshallah, we will continue with this tomorrow.